Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kufav, and we will begin on Daf Kufav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss, as we have been Baruch Hashem, learning when a property was sold and a measurement was indicated, and it's not exactly what was said is what is actually there. The measurement that was said is not the measurement that we actually find when it's sold. So says the Mishnah, if the way it was indicated, it was said b'simonov u'b'miftarov. Simonov means that there's specific signs showing that this is the field that's being sold. Miftarov, the boundaries of the field are being clearly indicated. Says the Mishnah, pachishtus, here the shear of discrepancy, the acceptable amount of discrepancy is different than the amount that we've been discussing till now. And here the shear is shtus, a sixth. If the discrepancy is less than a sixth, higiyoi, the sale will stand. If achtus, but if it's greater than a sixth, yinaka, then an adjustment has to be made, as we'll discuss in the Gemara Mitzvah immediately, what will be the din if it's exactly a sixth. So the Rishonim discuss why is the halacha here different than what we've been learning until now. Because until now we've been learning that the shear is a 24th. Because we've been learning until now that if the words hein chesser vehein yesser were used, then up to 24th we said a quarter of a kav per saw, the 30 saw in a kor, so a quarter of a kav per saw, which would be 30 quarter kavs, which would be 7.5 kav, is a 24th. And here we're saying that the shear is a sixth. So there are two ways of understanding. Before we go further, just to understand what exactly is the case of the Mishnah. Some Rishonim say that the case of the Mishnah is that it was very clearly said. It was said that he's standing in the field and he's saying b'mifsimonov or b'miftzorov. Most Rishonim say that he was prefaced with the words base kor zeh. This particular base kor b'simonov or b'miftzorov, with these signs, with these identifying marks, are being sold. And since it was said in this way, that's why the halacha is different. Some Rishonim say you don't have to say the word zeh, base kor zeh, just saying base kor without this siman of miftzorov is enough. Other Rishonim want to suggest that just standing there is enough. You don't even have to say siman of miftzorov. The fact that he's standing there, that in itself will be a raya, that the din should be different, and that a discrepancy of a sixth, that here the din will be a discrepancy of a sixth, which of course is a much larger discrepancy than the discrepancy we've been speaking about until now. Why is the din different? So the Rashbam essentially says two pshatim. One pshat that the Rashbam says is that truthfully, when a field is set, when Simonov and Miftzorov, when it's clearly indicated that this is the field that's being sold, so it should make a difference what the size of the field is. He's saying Simonov and Miftzorov. He's clearly indicating that this is the field that's being sold, no matter what the size is. However, we can't ignore the fact that the words base kor, or as I said a moment ago, base kor zeh, were being used. And since we can't ignore that, we have to take that into consideration, and that's why we give up to a leeway of up to a sixth. Another interesting pshat that the Rashbam suggests is as follows. We've been learning earlier in our parak, we discussed this at great length, that if the seller were to use the words base core alone, if he just were to use the words base core, they give them a leeway of the 24th. Here, he used two words that give, so to speak, leeway. One is the words base core, and one is Simanov and Miftarov. So if when you have one statement of give, of allowing discrepancy, the halacha is you get a 24th, when you have two statements giving you leeway, you get up to a 6th. Of course, the Mepharshim point out that when we speak here about the discrepancy, when we speak here about a 6th, even though we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, that the 6th is the number that's used by Eino, here the Gemara doesn't mean to teach us Hilchos Eino. Ein Eino l'kakos. There are no dinim of Eino in the sale of kakos. The number 6 happens to be the same number as is used by Eino, but we're not, this Gemara has nothing to do with Hilchos Eino. There are Rishonim to take it a step further. They want to say as follows. They say that certainly, as I learned, said a moment ago, this is not connected to Hilchos Eino. But Chazal had to choose a number. What should be the acceptable discrepancy or unacceptable discrepancy? And Chazal chose the number of a 6th. Where did Chazal take the number 6, a 6th from? They took the number of a 6th from Hilchos Eino. But certainly, this Gemara, the din of our Mishnah, is not connected to Hilchos Eino. So says the Gemara, Itma. So now we have a Machlokes. What will be the halacha when the discrepancy was exactly a 6th? Itma. Rav Huna's opinion is Shtus. If it's exactly like a 6th, Kapox Mishtus, it's treated the same as if as a deviation of less than a 6th. Rav Yehuda Amar Shtus Kiyos Mishtus, that if the deviation is a 6th, it's treated like more than a 6th. And as the Rashbam explains, the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda is a machlokes of ad v'loy ad b'chlal, ad v'ad b'chlal. When the Mishnah says a 6th, is a 6th included in the din of less than a 6th or not? And the Gemara explains, Rav Huna Amar Shtus Kapox Mishtus, that when the discrepancy is exactly a 6th, it's treated like less than a 6th, and hachikomer. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Pachs mishtos, if the discrepancy is less than a 6th, v'shtos b'chlal, and the same din will be, if it was a 6th, higiyoy, the sale stands without adjustment. However, yois mishtos, if the discrepancy is greater than a 6th, yanaka, then we have to make an adjustment. And there's an interesting machloikis Rishonim. A number of points. One point that the Rishonim make is when the Gemara here says that an adjustment is made, what the Gemara means to say is, as we've learned before, at what point is an adjustment made? At what point does the Moicher have to take back property? And again, as we've been learning, the din will be the same. If it equals an area of 9 kav, which is already a significant piece of property, there the halacha will be that the seller has to be willing to take back a piece of property. If it's less, he only has to be willing to take, he has the choice, as we learned the Mishnah earlier in our parak, either to take back the piece of property or just to demand that it be paid for, or he may have to pay, depending on what the discrepancy was. Furthermore, there's an interesting machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that if there's a discrepancy of more than a 6th, so once there's a discrepancy of more than a 6th, the din will be that you have to give back, that you have to not only adjust for the amount that's greater than a 6th, but now that we're adjusting, we have to adjust for the all of the discrepancy. However, the Magen Mishnah is not exactly certain that that is the halacha, and he seems to think that perhaps if there's a discrepancy of more than a 6th, we have to adjust till it gets to a 6th according to Rav Huna, or less than a 6th according to Rav Yehuda. But once we get to that amount, that's all that has to be adjusted for. We don't have to adjust for the entire discrepancy. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, is of the opinion that shtus, if the discrepancy is exactly a 6th, it's treated kiyaisa mishtus, like more than a 6th, and Hachikamer. And according to Behuda, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Pax Mishtus, if this discrepancy is less than a sixth, Higioi, the sale stands without any adjustment. Achtus, but if the discrepancy is a sixth, the Shus Beklal, if it's already even just a sixth, Yanaka, then we have to make an adjustment. Meisvei asked the Gemara on Rav Huna's opinion. There's a braisa which says, if it's property, the case of our Mishnah, where property was sold, b'simonov u'b'miftzorov p'chishtos or hishtos, if there was a discrepancy of more or less than a sixth, harei k'shum hadiyorim. The Gemara Masechta Ksubis discusses a situation where somebody, Rachmana Tzlom, passed away, but the person who passed away left Yorshim, who inherited his properties. But this person who passed away was a Baal Choyv. He owed money. So the Gemara says there that the halacha is that the land that these Yorshim inherited has to be used to satisfy the father's debt, and that Bezdin sits down to evaluate. Bezdin of three Dayanim sits down to evaluate what is the value of that land. The Gemara there discusses a case where Bezdin made a mistake in the evaluation of the property, and they evaluated it for less than it's really worth. The Rabbanan, the opinion of the Chacham is that, and that's the opinion that the Gemara at least here begins with, says that if the error is less than a sixth of the real value of the land, the sale stands. However, if it's more than a sixth, the sale is voided. So it says here that the din that we're discussing of Simonov Umuvtsarov is treated the same way as Shum HaDayanim. And as I just said, the opinion of the Rabbanon by Shum HaDayanim is that as soon as the discrepancy equals a sixth, the sale is void. Is it this a clear refutation of Rav Huna's opinion, says the Gemara? Because by Shum HaDayanim, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the din by Shum HaDayanim is that shtus, if the discrepancy is a sixth, the halacha is that it's treated kiyosim shtus, as if it was more than a sixth. So we see that it seems that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, amlak Rav Huna. And as will become clear as we now begin the sugya, there are two versions in the Ran, Shbam, how to learn the Gemara. First, we're going to learn the Girsa that seems to be the Girsa that our Gemara has, and then we're going to review the other Girsa. Amlach Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, Ultameich, and according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, is this Braisa understandable? Higia Ktanim, the Braisa says that if the discrepancy is exactly a sixth, the sale is a sale. But didn't we just quote the opinion of the Chachamim? That the opinion of the Chachamim is that if the discrepancy equals a sixth, the sale is reversed. Ella, we have to explain the Kishum HaDayanim v'lo Kishum HaDayanim. That when the Braisa equates the Halacha of Simonov u'Muftzorov to the halacha of Shum HaDayanim, it's not an exact comparison. It is a comparison to the degree of Kishtum HaDayanim L'shtus. That in both cases, there is an allowance for discrepancy of a sixth. However, V'loi Shum HaDayanim, it's not an exact comparison. Dila Hasom, in the case of the Shtum HaDayanim, if the discrepancy is a sixth, the sale is voided. V'lahacha, in our case, where the discrepancy is a sixth, higiyoi, the sale will stand. So in other words, according to this understanding of the Braisa, the comparison between Shum Hadayonim and Simonov and Mitzorov is that in both cases, a deviation of up to a sixth, the sale stands without any adjustment. However, there is going to be a difference in the case of a deviation of a sixth, where by the case of Shum Hadayonim, the sale will be reversed under such circumstances, and by the case of Simonov and Mitzorov, Al Gemara, a deviation of a sixth will be forgiven. According to this Girsa, the Gemara has answered the question from the Braisa on Rav Huna, but the question that Rav Huna counted to Rav Yehuda from the Braisa, that the Braisa seems to indicate that by a deviation of a sixth, by Shum Hadayonim, the sale stands without an adjustment, where, as Rabbi Huda certainly says, it does require adjustment. That question hasn't been answered. Tosfos, trying to answer Rabbi Huda's opinion, says that Rabbi Huda is going to have to explain that the words Picheshtus in the Braisa means that the deviation was less than a sixth, where Rabbi Huda agrees that both in the case of Shum Hadayonim and in the case of Simonim Umiftsarov, if the deviation was less than a sixth, everything stands. But because of this question, the Rashbam and other questions has a different girsa in the Gemara. And according to that girsa, the word Ella is not here, and the way what the Gemara has rather is Amlach Rav Huda. And therefore, according to this understanding, Rav Huna responds to the challenge by saying that this Braisa says that when there's a deviation of a sixth, the sale stands. Whereas you, according to the opinion of Chachamim, when there's a deviation of a sixth by Shum Hadayonim, the sale is voided. So, says the Rashbam, the way Rav Huna will have to explain the Braisa is that Rav Huna is going to say that the Braisa is not following the opinion of the Chachamim, who I quoted earlier as being of the opinion that if the deviation by Shum Hadayonim is exactly a sixth, the sale is reversed. Rather, the Braisa, according to Rav Huna, follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel and says that even if there was a deviation of exactly a sixth, the sale stands. And therefore, when the Braisa says that we compare the cases, the case of Simonov Umiftsarov to the case of Shum Hadayonim, the halacha will be that indeed both cases are identical. In both cases, if the mistake is a sixth, the halacha is the sale stands. And that's how Rav Huna will understand the Braisa. How will Rav Yehuda, however, understand the Braisa? Rav Yehuda, and again, according to the Rashbam, when the Gemara now, according to this Girsa, when the Gemara now uses the words Kishum Adayonim, the like Kishum Adayonim, the Gemara actually is trying to explain the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, the Braisa is teaching us that the Braisa still follows the opinion of the Rabbonim, that by Shum Hadayonim, if there's a mistake of a sixth, the sale does not stand. The Braisa is comparing the cases of Shum Hadayonim to Simonov and Mitzorim. In both cases, the halacha is that if there's a deviation of a sixth, it will not be forgiven. But even though in that regard, Shum Hadayonim and Simonov and Mitzorov are the same, they're not really completely identical. Why are they not completely identical? Because by Shum Hadayonim, if there's a mistake of a sixth, not only is it not forgiven, as I just said, but the entire sale is reversed. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by our case of Simon of Tzarov, if there is a mistake of a sixth, it's not forgiven, but it doesn't create a situation that the sale is reversed. Rather, what happens is that the halacha will be that it will have to be adjusted. Says the Gemara, Rapapa Zovin Arma Ugavra. Rapapa purchased a piece of property from a person, Omale, and the seller said to Rapapa, Hava Esrin Groi. The size of this property is 20 measures. That's the 20 saw. Mashre. Rapapa then went and measured the piece of property, Vilavava Chemisra. And it turned out that the property was only 15 saw large. Osla Kameda Baya. So he came to Baya, saying that the sale ought to be voided, or at least it should be adjusted. Amale, so Baya said, Savris for Kivos. No, you have to accept the property as it is. So Rapapa said, for Tanan, didn't we just learn in our Mishnah, Pachshtus Higiyoy, that if the deviation is less than a sixth, he has to accept it. But if the deviation is achdos, a sixth, or certainly more than a sixth, the halacha is yinaka. It should be adjusted. And here, certainly, it was a situation of 15 to 20, which is a significant deviation. So how come I have to accept it? Replied Abaya, Hani Mili, when is there halacha that you have to be prepared to accept it? In a situation where you don't know, you're not familiar with what you were buying. In a situation where you're familiar with the field being sold, you knew what you were getting into and you accepted it. And the Pasha Pshat, the way most Rishonim learned the Gemara, is that here we were dealing with a situation, the Rapapa was right here next to the field being sold. And since Rapapa was right here next to the field being sold, he knew what he was getting into and he accepted it that way. There are Rishonim that say that even if Rapapa weren't actually standing here, but Rapapa was familiar with the property that was being sold, and furthermore, the fact that the discrepancy was so very significantly different. In other words, where the discrepancy is not that noticeable. So there you could say the purchaser doesn't have a way of recognizing that there was a discrepancy. But in a case where the discrepancy is so very significant, even if he's not standing there, according to the opinion of these Rishonim, he should recognize what he's getting into, and therefore he has to accept Sava V'Kibbel. He accepted the situation. As the Gemara, but Rapapa continues to protest. For Esther Amali, he told me that he's selling me a field that's 20 saw large. Why could he get away with his lie? Amalei, it's not a lie. Because what the seller meant was that defekesrin, that this piece of property, although it doesn't have that size, has the value of that size, and therefore you have to be its sover v'kibbel. Says the Yad Ramah. If so, that the way we're explaining what the Moicha said was because it has that value, it indeed has to have that value. And if it won't have that value, then the buyer doesn't have to accept it. We don't have to say the svara of Sover V'Kibbel. The Rishonim say, the Yad Ramah continues to say, based on this Gemara, that the halach is, let's say I purchase vegetables or whatever product from a store, and I saw what I was buying, and I come home and I see that the quality I bought is an inferior quality, and I come back and I say I paid full price for inferior quality. Again, our Gemara teaches us the halacha of Sava V'Kibbel. I knew what I was getting into, and I have no legitimate claim. The Miri and the Rajba actually take this a step further. They say that this is relevant regarding Hilchos Kedushin. That let's say a person tells a woman, I'm being mekadesh you with a cup of wine. And actually he gives her a cup of honey, which is a lot less valuable than a cup of wine. But the woman saw the cup of beverage that she was being miskadish with. The aloch is sovereign with kibble, and the kedushin will be a valid kedushin. And therefore, many misadri kedushin have the minig of specifically showing the kala, the ring, before the kedushin, that the kala should not have a claim that she thought she was getting a ring that was bigger, that was more expensive. So here, by showing her the ring, it's sovereign with kibble, you knew the size of the ring, you saw what you were accepting, and therefore you have no claim. The next Gemara that we now begin, as the Rashbam tells us, is the Gemara teaches us the halacha of Geirul, the halacha of when lots are drawn. And as the Rashbam points out, this is really not connected to the sugyas that we are now learning. But the reason, says the Rashbam, our Gemara introduces this concept is because, as we'll get deeper into the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem, there will be circumstances that the Gemara speaks about where adjustments may be need to be made, which is, of course, the subject of many of the Mishnayos and Gemaras that we've been learning in our Perek. Tanya. So says the Braiser, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ha'achin Shechalku, if there's a father that passed away, and he left over an estate for his children, and they divide the estate through a geirul, says Reb Yossi, Ha'achat Shechalka, as soon as the brothers divide through a geirul, the halacha is kivin she'oru geirul lechad mehen, kana kulam. As soon as one of them picks his lot, the geirul is effective. The simplest way of understanding the Gemara is that we're referring to a situation where there are two brothers, and the Gemara is teaching us that as soon as one brother picks his share, the other brother becomes the owner of his share automatically. However, the Rishonim go on to explain that our Gemara could also be referring to a situation where there are more than two brothers. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that let's say there are three brothers, and only one of the brothers chose his lot. So even though the other brothers have not yet chosen their shares and their lot, that doesn't change that the brother who picked his share becomes the full-fledged owner of that share, and that cannot be reversed. Another way of explaining is what the Gemara says is that as soon as the lottery process begins, all of them have the obligation of continuing the process, and we can't say that this brother began the process, but it shouldn't affect the other brothers. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that sometimes lottery could be done that even if as soon as one brother picks his share, all the other shares fall into place. And that's the case that the Gemara is referring to. The Shaul Sechuv Sa'elech V'lcha Shloima from Shloima Kluger discusses how come we could follow a geirul. A geirul, isn't it a contradiction to the pasuk that says in the Torah of Tam Tia Meshem Alekecha? We're not supposed to do these kind of simonim. We have to follow what happens that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Why is this that it's contradiction to Tam Tia Meshem Alekecha? Says Rav Shloima Kluger, Tam Tia Meshem Alekecha means that a Jew has to rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We have to live with Emunah B'Tochen and not do all sorts of acts to try to figure out what is in the future or what we should do because of different simonim. Here we're not using the geirul to teach us to do that. Rather, here we're using the geirul that there's an estate to be divided, or there's other things that need to be divided, and we just need a method of for division. That isn't a contradiction to Tam Tia Meshem Alekecha. Although it's interesting to note that there's a contradiction in the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim mentions that if there are people on a boat, and the boat is in great danger to drown, similar to the story with Yonah. A geirul should be done. He says the geirul should be done actually three times to determine who is the cause for the danger to this boat. And if the geirul comes out that it's this person, we should follow what the geirul says. And the Mefarshim point out that the Sefer Chassidim himself is very strong about not doing these kind of acts and not relying on these types of geirul to determine what to do. How could the Sefer Chassidim here say we should follow a geirul? So Mefarshim say very interesting. They say certainly a Jew who should not rely on these geiruls, as I just said. However, they explain that the Sefer Chassidim is speaking about a very specific situation. That they say the Sefer Chassidim is speaking about a situation that there are a number of boats traveling in the sea. And the sea is very calm for all the other boats. The sea is calm and there's no problem. And one boat is in danger in a sea that seems to be very calm. There's something going on here. And that is when a geirul can be used. Another interesting question that Rav Moshe Sternberg discusses in the Shalos Tshuvos, Tshuvos and Haggis. As we know, we've discussed, the Gemara says it many times, that a mesachik bekuvya is osur. Somebody's not allowed to gamble. In fact, somebody who gambles is posleidus. So why is a geirul, all these lotteries that are done, why is that not considered mesachik bekuvya? So he says a very interesting psak. He says, when is something considered gambling? That if you and I are gambling with each other, and one of us is going to end up giving, either I'm going to end up giving you my money, or you're going to end up giving me your money. That's considered mesachik bekuvya. That is considered like geneva. But in a situation where all of us are putting money into a central pot, so to speak, and then the geirul will determine who should get that whole pot, so it isn't going directly from me to you, rather it's going from me to the pot, to the lottery fund, and from that fund the winner will get that money or that winning. That is not considered besach bekuvya and it's mutter. There's a very fundamental machloikis. If in a case where a geirul is conducted, will a kinyan also be required, or is the geirul itself affect the kinyan? So machloikis rishonim, the Rashbam and the Rambam of the opinion that the geirul in itself affects a kinyan. The Torah, however, quoting the Rosh, says that a geirul itself doesn't affect the kinyan, and a maisa kinyan is required. The Shvus Yaakov has a compromised position. He says, if the lots being allocated allocate specific portions to each person, then a kinyan is not required. However, if all the lots determine is the order for choosing, that the geirul will say that we have a group of people here, and the geirul should tell who has the right to choose first, which parcel of land he should get, and who should choose second, there a kinyan will be required. However, the Shvus Yaakov makes a very interesting observation. When we quote this Machlokes Rishonim, if a kinyan is required together with a geirul, we seem to think that the opinion that holds that you have to have a kinyan is a chumrah, that the geirul itself is not enough. However, says the Shvus Yaakov, actually, it could create a kula also. Because says the Shvus Yaakov, what would be the halacha if a geirul is conducted and there is no kinyan done after the geirul, and then afterwards one of the parties to the geirul complains that the geirul was not done properly? So if we follow the opinion of the Rishonim that a kinyan is done besides the geirul, so it wouldn't make a difference, because we're not completely relying on the geirul. A kinyan was done and that is enough to create facts of ownership. However, if we're only relying on the geirul, and now the validity of the geirul comes into question, then the halacha would be that we may have to redo everything. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reason that a Goyrel is effective? Amar Belaza, K'tchilas Eretz Yisrael, because we compare it to the way Eretz Yisrael was divided. Ma T'chila B'Goyrel, just like Eretz Yisrael was divided by Goyrel amongst the Shvatim, Af Kam B'Goyrel. There's actually Machlek Fushayim, how far there were Goyrelis used in the division of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees that the division amongst the Shvatim, that each Shevet got his portion in Eretz Yisrael, was done through a Goyrel. There is a Machlekes Rishonim, however, if in each Shevet's portion, when they divided that portion amongst the different families and members of the Shevet, was that done by Goyrel or not? So that's from where we see the validity of a Goyrel. Ask the Gemara, how can we use that as the model for the effectiveness of a Goyrel? Imala halan beklapi vor metumim. The Goyrel that was done when Eretz Yisrael was divided, they had a special box. They had the Ormetumim. If we're going to use that as the model, the only Goyrel that should be halachically effective is Afkan beklapi vor metumim. Should only be effective, the Rishonim say, certainly you should have to have Urim V'tumim, certainly you should have to have the special box that was there. Other Rishonim say what the Gemara means to say is that all of Klal Yisrael were there as this Goyer was being conducted. Other Rishonim say that certainly the Shechina was there when that Goyrel was being conducted. But how can we say that just because there was a Goyrel that had all of these very unique features in the division of Eretz Yisrael, should that teach us that a Goyrel is always effective? Amar Vashi, Bahu Hanoah the Kotzais LaHadadi, the Hanoah that the two parties agree to benefit from each other, Gamri Maknil HaDodi, that makes the Goyrel effective. And there's two ways of understanding the Gemara. One way of understanding the Gemara is that, as we've always learned, what does a kinyan mean? What a kinyan means is gemiras das. It shows a seriousness of intent. Says the Gemara, both of all the parties to whatever situation we're talking about that need to divide and are relying on a goyel to create that division, agree, a goyma das, to do that division, that is as good as any kinyan. However, another pshat that the Rishonim suggest in this Gemara about who I know the Kotzais LaHadadi is that it's considered like Kesef, that's considered like a situation that this Hano, that this is the way we're going to be able to successfully divide this property, is considered a Hano that Shove Kesef, and therefore it's an effective means of doing of dividing an estate. Actually, I saw Mefarshim that say that these two pshatim that we just quoted and Bahu Anod the Kotzais LaHadadi really are connected to the Machlokes Rishonim that we just quoted a moment ago, if a Goyrel requires a Kenyan. According to the first pshat that I said, that Bahu Anod the Kotzais LaHadadi, that a Goyrel represents Gemiras Das, which is what every Kenyan represents, there would not be a need for doing a kinyan besides the Goyrel, because a Goyrel is a kinyan. However, according to the pshat by Huan Nod the Kotzais LaHadadi, which actually means that it's like a Hanor, that doesn't change the requirement for also still needing a kinyan. Rav Chaim Briska asks, but the Gemara hasn't answered the question. The Gemara had a question, asks Rav Chaim, that how could we use a Goyrel? The only place that we find a Goyrel was effective was by Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, that had all these unique features. And every other Goyrel doesn't have those unique features. How does the Gemara answer that question? Answers Rav Chaim. What the Gemara says, what the Gemara is saying is, that what is a Goyrel? A Goyrel, says Rav Chaim, is the Gemara saying, is not pshat that there's some sort of magic going on by the Goyrel. and if there's magic going on by a goyrel, now we have a question that maybe you need the unique features that existed by Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. What goyrel is, it's a way of division. It's a legitimate way of dividing. It's no different than if you and I had to divide something and we both agreed that this is the middle and this is the way we're going to divide this piece of cake. This is right down the middle. This, a goyrel, is no different. The Gemara is teaching us that a goyrel is a very simple means of division and didn't require any special requirements to be effective. Says the Gemara, Itma, Shnei Achim Shechalku. If two brothers divided an estate, and then Balam Achim Medina Siyam, they always thought that they were only two brothers, and then their father passed away, and they divided their estate. And then, after this division took place, a third brother shows up. Balam Achim Medina Siyam, a third brother comes. So what happens now? Rav Amma, Batla Machlaikus. Rav says, we have to redo the entire machlokes, the entire division. V'Shmuel Amar Mekamsim. What Shmuel says is that we don't start from scratch. Just every brother has to take a portion from what he got and give it to his newly found brother. Which means, simple way of understanding the Gemara is that let's say the father had left 6 fields. And we thought there were only 2 brothers, so each brother got 3 fields, and then a new brother shows up. Each one of the existing brothers has to give one of his fields to this new brother. That's how the Rashbam learns the Gemara. Actually, the Rishonim say, of course, this third brother should be treated fairly, which means that the third brother should not get the 2 fields that he is now entitled to in two totally different areas. They have to take into consideration the brother's needs also, this newfound brother. This is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that he can't understand that Shmuel should say that this third brother, who's a legitimate brother here, should not be entitled to any goyrel, to just be given something without having a goyrel. And that's why Tosfos says, even according to Shmuel, another goyrel is made, but it's more of an abbreviated type of goyrel. Amlei Rav l'Rav Nachman. The Rav, Dama Batel Machlaikus. According to Rav, that when this new brother came, the original goyrel is voided. Alma Hadadina. Rav's opinion is obviously that the judgment that was originally made is reversed. Elamato asked the Gemara, Hani Beit Plus the Kaimi. If you have a partnership of 3 partners, Vaz Beit Trey Minayu Polik. If 2 of the partners decided to dissolve the partnership, and they divided the partnership without the knowledge of the 3rd partner, Hachinami, are we going to say that since he wasn't party to this division of the partnership, the Batel Machlokes, that it should not be valid? So here too, why does Rav say Batel Machlokes? And says the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. Hasam, Nachsi Adata the Beit Los Mikara. The partnership was a partnership of 3 partners. When they divided the partnership, given that the partners have a right to divide the partnership, and actually some Rishonim say, you don't need the consent of all 3 partners to dissolve the partnership. Some 2 partners' agreement to dissolve the partnership is enough. And some Rishonim say that even 1 partner has a right to dissolve the partnership if it follows the terms of the partnership agreement. And therefore, the fact that all 3 partners weren't there to be party to the dissolution of the partnership is not an issue. However, when they did the Skyrel, they weren't aware of the existence of this 3rd brother. They weren't aware of his existence at all, and they only divided it into 2 portions when they should have divided it into 3 portions, and therefore that Skyrel, when the 3rd brother comes, is voided. According to the opinion of Shmuel, the Omer Mekamtzim that says that we don't redo the Goyrol Lememra, obviously Shmuel is of the opinion that Kamdina, once it was done, we have to keep it that way. Ask the Gemara, we just learned, V'arav Shmuel Domer Tavaya, Kor B'Shloish Vani Meichalach, if when the seller sold the buyer a lot of 30 saw, and he's selling it, said, I'm selling it to you as one unit. So as we learned in our previous year, Yoch Lachsaba, Afil B'Sach Reina, it's one unit, and until the entire unit is delivered, we don't have a sale, and it can be retracted on. However, Kor B'Shloishim Saw B'Sell Ani Meichalach, so here he added the words that it's one saw per seller. The halach is rishon rishon kana, that each saw is sold individually. So we see that from Shmuel's first halacha, that as long as the last saw has not been delivered, you could back out of the deal, even though the first 29 saw have already been delivered. Why then does Shmuel here say that the deal has to stand? Answers the Gemara, Hasam over Rabbanim Milsa the Nichlei LeMoichel Nichlei LeKayach. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows: prices fluctuate. Sometimes it's for the benefit of the buyer. Sometimes it's for the benefit of the seller. That's why Chazal said that if the transaction was worded in a way that it's being sold as one unit, either of the two parties, the buyer or the seller, have the right to back out until the terms of the sale are completely followed. Because really both of the seller and the buyer, have benefit from this ability to renege because of price fluctuation. However, in a case where it was set aside for a seller, there it's clearly indicated that they're selling each saw separately. But in our case, where we're dealing with a partnership, and as the Gemara says, in the Rishbam quotes this Gemara, a pot that's owned by two people, like Kareir v'lechamim, will not be hot, will not be cold. Nobody takes care of it properly. Everybody relies on the other individual. So it's to everybody's benefit to divide as quickly and as efficiently as possible. That's why Shmuel holds, as soon as a girl was conducted and a division was made, that division, that girl cannot be changed, and the girl stands even if a third brother should come.